This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Esports doesn't take place on a field, but it does fill large auditoriums and rooms. These structured video game competitions involve multiplayer online battle arena games where players have to work together in teams. Students from UC, Miami, Ohio State, Case Western, and Xavier recently got together to form the first All-Midwest Esports Gaming event in early October. It was the biggest collegiate video gaming tournament to date. And joining us to talk about the increasing popularity of esports are All-Mid organizers Chris Postel. Is that correct, Chris? I'm sorry, didn't ask.
Postel.
Okay. Chris Postel from the University of Cincinnati. Stelani Sirlis from Miami University, along with UC League of Legends faculty advisor Tony Qualins. And you can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And thanks to all of you for being here this afternoon. Chris, multiplayer online battle arena games. Now, you have to give me, maybe between the three of you, you give me some examples of these, because just the name alone sounds like it's pretty intense.
Yeah, so what, to put it for short, these are MOBA games.
MOBA games, okay.
MOBA games are team-based video games that take place online, and it's usually teams of five contesting against each other to maneuver, to take objectives, to accomplish certain goals in the game, and ultimately defeat the other team.
A perfect example of this would be the most popular esport, League of Legends. I think about at least the size of Canada plays. Like, that's how big this game is, and it's kind of like swept esports like internationally.
Now, League of Legends is the one you used at the tournament last month, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Describe that. What do you do in this game exactly? I mean, what's the whole idea behind it?
Sure. So, as Chris was saying earlier, it's like 5v5. Five people on each team. There are different lanes, and in each lane, there's an objective to take, and you're trying to push into the other team's base. So if you meet in like a mid lane, there's like a turret here and a turret here, and you kind of break down the first tier, then the second tier, and then you slowly push into their base, and you just kind of want to like beat up their house. Once you beat up their house and it's dead, you win the game, essentially.
Well, you know, you're competing with Xavier and OSU and Case Western and other schools. So, yeah, I imagine you do feel like you want to maybe beat up on them a little bit. Tony, how did the esports movement get its start at UC?
I run a thing called the Resonant Office, which is like a computer repair operation. And one of my students at the time kind of approached me about, you know, what my thoughts were on being a faculty advisor for a club he wanted to start. And I was like, okay, well, you know, I'm into games too. And since I was his boss for the most part, I was like, okay, well, you know, let's kind of run with this and see what happens. And next I know, Chris's roommate that kind of brought it to our attention. And next thing you know, we've got all kinds of students coming in and everybody's on board.
How did the school administration react to this initially?
Yeah, so initially, the University of Cincinnati was a little hesitant and skeptical about, okay, gaming, what does this mean? But the reality—
is this really a sport?
Well, even beyond that, like, what value does it have to students? But one thing that, you know, we've made clear over time and they've seen and understand is, In this generation, there are so many students who come to college that either played video games in high school or middle school, and they're looking for that community to call home, that familiar community where they can make friends. Gaming provides that outlet to people. And it's through gaming where you can create those friendships and create those networks. And it really provides something valuable to both colleges and student experiences. And it brings people together. And that's the value that the university has seen gaming. And ever since continue to grow over the past couple of years, they've been just incrementally and exponentially more supportive of our ventures.
And how many are involved at UC at this point?
We started out with 15 people. It was just a club in the school cafeteria for people to sit down and, you know, talk nerdy to each other. But now we've got about 700 members.
From 15 to 700?
Yes.
What about at Miami? How did this get started at Miami?
It was pretty similar. My freshman year, there was a group of my closest friends, and they were like, hey, this esports thing seems pretty cool, and we all play League. Like, let's just play League, like, every once in a while together. And we get on something called, like, a TeamSpeak server. It's essentially like Skype. And we just play, like, in-houses, and then all of a sudden we were like, wait, there are other people on campus that are interested in this, too. So it went from being, like, maybe a 10-person thing to right now I think we're sitting about, like, 300 or 400 people.
Wow. That's amazing. Now, the interesting thing too is at UC, Tony, this is actually UC was the first place to recognize this as an official club sport, right?
Correct.
How big a deal was getting that recognition?
That's huge, just because you know, with everybody, we actually got funding as being a club sport. So that's what allowed us to kind of grow things and get more people involved and kind of, you know, with our game days we had. How many pizzas do we have show up the first day?
Pizzas?
Yeah.
Oh, we had probably 45 boxes. We stacked them from the floor to the ceiling.
Is pizza the most popular food at this kind of event?
It's just simply the food that we provide. We can get a nice discount from like Papa John's. Mm-hmm. They're supportive.
But getting that funding in order to be able to do that kind of things was one of the bigger hurdles to overcome. And once we kind of got that going, then, you know, kind of got us to where we are.
Wait, the administration kind of reacted a little bit skeptically to this at first. Overall, I mean, did you have the problem with people looking at this and saying, that's not a sport? What are you doing here? I mean,
they didn't really kind of fight us back on the sport aspect. It was more of
academia
versus
video games. What's the actual value of doing this?
Yeah. Right. So I work for UCIT, which is just our IT infrastructure for the campus. And I work very closely with people that build the classrooms with all the electronics and everything in them. So when we kind of look at the classrooms and can see that, hey, this is perfect to basically do our matches in, we kind of reserved the rooms for one day and kind of told my boss, hey, we're going to do this. Is there anything we need to kind of know, you know, just so we don't interfere with classes the next day? And once we kind of had it go and, you know, we had such a great turnout with students, and you know, my bosses saw that the students really enjoyed it, and that's what, you know, they were like started to be a little more open about it once they realized, you know, when we have 200-300 people show up, I mean that's not really a blip. I mean, that's a pretty sizable chunk of students showing up for games.
And what about at Miami, Stella? Did you get similar reactions there to people saying what are you doing with this?
A lot of people just don't understand because there's kind of the stigma, like back in the day, where games are normally a nerdy thing. It's something that you kind of want to hide.
You're sitting in your parents' basement doing this, that kind of thing.
Exactly, yeah. which is sad because, like, as Chris was saying earlier, it really is a wonderful opportunity for you to just find people that are passionate about the same thing you are. And it's really interesting from a collegiate standpoint. Like, right now, Miami doesn't recognize any esports as a club sport. That is actually a goal of mine before I graduate. At least a club sport, or like in the long run, you know, like a nice sponsorship, not sponsorship, but a scholarship, that'd be so sweet. But there is value on the collegiate level, especially, let's say, like for myself, I'm not a big like sports ball girl, I'm not. But like esports, I can rally behind those players, and I love my Miami team. I love my league team, my CSGO team. I want to watch them. I watch their games. I cheer them on. I do everything that I can. And I think that's neat at a collegiate level for people like me to be able to rally around their own players like at their school. So it kind of like creates this whole school pride thing too, which is why I think like esports is so valuable at this level, just because it gives those people the opportunity to kind of feel like the spirit hype that they might not normally feel if they're watching like football or basketball or baseball.
513-419-7100 to join the conversation, and we will continue our conversation about esports after this. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. We're talking about esports with Chris Postal from the University of Cincinnati and Stelany Serlis from Miami University, along with UC League of Legends faculty advisor Tony Qualins. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Chris, there are just tons of benefits to doing this, though, from what I'm gathering from what you're telling me here.
Yeah, absolutely. Going off of what Stelany said, as for providing value and exposing community hype, you also get to align and bring together different communities within the university, whether it's having international students that are overseas who might not really feel at home studying at an American university. All of a sudden, you know, hey, we're playing the same game you are. This is something we have in common. We can interact with that body of students that may otherwise, you know, not have that chance. And then through the organization potential, you know, being an officer, being involved in these types of clubs really does give you a lot of experience in leadership, initiative, marketing, all these skills that, you know, people look for. We're building them right here.
You see that same kind of community connection being formed at Miami because of this?
Oh, definitely. I think, like what Chris says, especially connecting those different groups, especially international students, or really the groups that you don't think would play video games. You just kind of realize, you play that too? Oh my gosh, like, let's be friends. Why not? Outside of just your own college, though, the neat thing about video games and esports is, like, we have the internet. We have the opportunity. Like, I could play with Chris on a Saturday night, like League of Legends 5v5, and he's in Cincy and I'm at Miami. And I love that too, because not only do you have the opportunity for collaboration and meeting people on your own campus, but you have that everywhere. There's just no boundaries.
And Tony, you know, as we were talking about some of the criticisms that were leveled at this, one was the, you know, question, what's the educational value of this? Can the students who are involved in this, can they take this somewhere else? I mean, is there a professional level? Does this get people interested in careers in technology?
They're starting to get on there is a programming circuit that's, you know, kind of slowly been forming. And of course they have these like major
tournaments. So there's actually a level up that you can play professionally.
Yes, you can get sponsored. Okay. You can make money. It's kind of slim, you know, to get to that top tier, but it is possible. And that's, you know, the more people that get involved, you know, with the whole esports kind of wave that's hitting right now, you know, that's showing, you know, the different companies that, hey, your demographic people are into this kind of thing, you know, may as well throw money at it and get some people sponsored. Wow. And get your products out there.
Beyond that, though, does it foster an interest in people going into technology fields, do you think?
Well, I think a lot of the people that are playing the games do have a technological aspect to themselves. So whether they're engineers in electrical engineering, or, you know, just someone like myself, I was an information systems grad. So, I mean, we're used to working on computers, so we do have that technical skill. But rather than using the computer to do our work, we're using it to do our games.
Okay. You just had this All Midwest Esports Gaming event. Mm-hmm. Chris, what was the turnout like?
Well, the turnout for at least on Saturday was a 2-day event, Saturday and Sunday, from October 3rd and 4th. And from our own internal numbers, we saw over 800 attendees show up from over 16 universities and 15 states across the United States. Show up for this event.
Yeah, so the universe, this is catching on all across the country then.
There are hundreds of gaming clubs across the country, from schools that you might see as more prestigious, from like, say, Harvard or UCLA, UC Berkeley even. You know, Texas A&M has a gaming club. Michigan has a gaming club. You know, Georgia Tech has a gaming club. Even in Canada, at like University of British Columbia, they have a gaming club. And through this platform, we can engage with all of them.
Now, when you held this tournament, you actually had, what, 14,000, I think, people viewed this online. Is that
yes.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had.
Were they playing as well?
No. So we had a live streaming system so that we had broadcasters, we had announcers, we had shoutcasters, anything that you would see at a professionally produced sporting event. So we had photography, we had videography, and all that was broadcasted online where you could watch for free and be a part of the experience even if you weren't able to actually be there.
So I take it that League of Legends was the game for this event. Now, who emerged victorious in this?
So we had the first place team came from Grand Valley State University in Michigan.
Okay.
And then the second place team was the Ohio State University. And the third place team was us, the University of Cincinnati.
Okay. How did Miami do?
We did our best.
You did your best. Oh. Now, what do you have planned for the future? Where does this go from here?
So I think each individual club has their own vision for the future. And I think as Tony would say and agree, you know, it's really what the students want. So we're a gaming – at each of our schools, we're gaming clubs, first and foremost. And, you know, that what we're doing is we're doing for our members and our students. But as for the team that put on All Mid, you know, we worked really hard on this. We spent 8 months of work. I personally worked with the University of Cincinnati tirelessly to make sure that our logistics were fine, that our venues were good. Stellany worked amazingly, and she got over $100,000 in sponsorships so that we could hand out free swag to attendees, from t-shirts to, you know, headsets. We had other people who did enormous amount of outreach to, you know, dozens of schools within the Midwest and throughout. And we'd really like to take that and keep it going and kind of provide that jumpstart for the community in the Midwest, that bringing high level and high production esports to, you know, all regions of the Midwest, so that everyone can, you know, participate in things that they love and enjoy, where they otherwise would have to travel to either New York or California, where these are more popular. We want it to be at home, and we want it to be in the places that we love and enjoy.
We had a call from Tom who wanted to know if this is a spectator sport. Now, it sounds like it's a spectator sport in terms of you can view it online. Can you actually go to the could you actually go to the tournament and watch? Can you go to these competitions and watch?
Okay. Yeah, so a good example for this was last year we had, there was the Professional League of Legends World Finals Championship, and it was held in the Staples Center in Los Angeles, where, you know, basketball is held. That stadium was sold out for everyone coming in, over, you know, 8,000 people just to watch 10 people play a video game. And then online, you had 37 million people watching it.
That's 37 million?
37 million.
That's amazing. Tony, what do you see as the future of all this?
Well, I think one of the big things is we kind of laid the blueprint for other universities to kind of, you know, show the value of our club, and hopefully, you know, these other clubs that maybe not be recognized by the university, kind of give them the wake up call that the university kind of needs to get on board and kind of, you know, follow and support these clubs. Because, you know, the students overwhelmingly have enjoyed this, you know, like Chris was saying, with the international students. And, you know, it's like everywhere you go, you know, there are people that are playing these games. So, you know, I'd love for us to continue on with the All Mid and hopefully see like Miami kind of do another event, maybe in Ohio State do an event. So there's not just like, you know, one event that you wait the whole year to go to. You know, let's try to get these other universities involved and kind of make it like a regular collegiate sport, you know.
Stellan, you said your goal was to make this an official club sport at Miami. How likely do you think that is?
I think that Miami is definitely starting to recognize the value of esports, especially after All Mid, because Miami is kind of likes it when students run off and do their own thing. They think it's cool. And I know that we got recognition from the president and our communications, and we have a very good interactive media studies department that focuses a lot on game development and like building that scene. And I know that they'd be super supportive. So I do see it going very well. I just have to make sure that my case is tight and I can present it properly.
Yeah. How can students get involved in this? I mean, what's it take?
Yeah, it's as easy as you want it to be. Honestly, you can just show up to a meeting, open your laptop or bring your computer and just start playing with friends. You can ask, you know, what can I do to help? There's so many different levels of organization for these events. You know, it sounds really simple and intuitive. Oh, let's play games together. But you have to realize, you know, is our network fine? Is our power fine? Do we have enough equipment for this? How are we feeding all these people? Are our reservations right? Like the act of actually doing this is a lot more high level than one would initially think.
Well, thanks for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
Chris Postols from the University of Cincinnati, Stellan Sirlis from Miami University, and UC League of Legends faculty advisor Tony Qualins. Okay. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our program are available at WVXU.org. The producer for today's show was Pete Reitmeier, with help from Jim Nolan. The assistant producer was Belinda Kai, and Kevin Rawinski was the technical director. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Science Friday, coming up next on 91.7 WVXU. The Reserve Officer Training Corps, or ROTC, prepares young adults to become officers in the U.S. military. ROTC programs fell out of favor during the 1960s, but are now offered at more than 1,000 colleges and universities. On the next Cincinnati Edition, we look at today's ROTC. We'll also talk with Norman Lear about his new autobiography, and in Focus on Technology, the possibility of a true life Star War. That's Cincinnati Edition, Monday afternoon at 1 on 91.7 WVXU.